On the tee, the Knackered Golfist.
Four, please. The Knackered Golfist, now driving.
You are listening live to the Knackered Golfist podcast. The Knackered Golfist podcast.
Welcome to a Knackered Golfist podcast exclusive episode. Saturday evening, coming back from the Fortinet Championship at Silverado Golf and Country Club Golf Sauna and Spa in Napa, California. What an amazing day we had, or what I had out there amongst many, many golf fans that decided to go to a golf tournament rather than seeing the Cal Bears play in Berkeley, I think against Oregon. No, they may have been away. I don't know. But man, what a day. What a freaking day. It was just a great day all around. Got up kind of late. I had been wanting to go to a PGA Tour tournament for many, many months now. And finally, I was able to go Saturday at the Fortinet Championship in Napa, the first golf tournament on the PGA Tour in the 22-23 season. And I had an amazing time. I'm going to try to not say amazing so much because it may annoy a few people, but immaculate day, fantastic day, spectacular day. It was just all of that stuff all around. I just got done editing sort of a synopsis kind of a video for the YouTube channel, and it was just me sitting in the car in addition to some clips from some video and some pictures that I took throughout the day. Oh my God, do not hit this Honda Odyssey in front of you. Hello? Many, many people sipping wine today, folks, but not me. No, as your host of this podcast, I have abstained from drinking wine, drinking the fruit of the liquid fruit juice that is flowing through the pipes of Napa, California. I have chosen to abstain from any of that, although I was offered a bit of Chardonnay today, but I just abstained from it just to keep you cool, calm, and collected, and with the fortitude of being able to cover the Fortinet Championship with fortitude. So, had a great day out at Silverado Golf and Country Club. Got there, and I got to Napa, and I found the parking spot. It was at this Napa Expo RV Park, I think, and was shuttled in rather quickly by a very skilled shuttle driver. We got in there quickly. We were in one of these smaller vehicles, and then we got to the gates of Silverado Golf and Country Club and got off, and then we got into the gate, and I went to Big Five yesterday to get a fanny pack, and the fanny pack worked out well today, and it just was I read up on what was allowed by patrons to attend a PGA Tour event, and the fanny pack was allowed. The fanny pack with one zipper, and mine had two, but it didn't mean anything. I got in with two zippers, and then I found out later that other folks got in with backpacks, and I read on the website for the Fortinet Championship that backpacks are not allowed. But that's fine. That's all well and good. I'm all right. I'm fine. No skin off my back. The tournament was not as crowded as I expected on a Saturday. It wasn't especially crowded on Saturday morning. Saturday morning coming in, I'm like, where is everybody? And I'm thinking, oh, they're just hungover. They're just sleeping it off. And they're going to come in later when the leaders tee off. And that's fine. I had a great time getting to the Fortinet Championship, and the first person I saw of interest was Roger Maltby of NBC Sports, and I saw him, and I asked him if I could have a picture with him, and he talked to me for my podcast, and you're going to hear Roger Maltby, hopefully, because he's sort of stuck in being the golf commentator where it's the golf whisper kind of voice. I hope it comes through well enough for all of us to hear. But I was so honored and privileged to meet him. I told him that I worked at Cinnabar Hills Golf Club many years ago that was owned by Lee Brandenburg. And Lee Brandenburg is a very, very longtime friend of Mr. Roger Maltby. And I think that Lee Brandenburg passed away kind of recently. And so if you ever visit Cinnabar Hills Golf Club, there is a museum in the golf shop itself that is dedicated to showing off basically the major championship trophies that he has collected over the years. And I don't know how he got them, but the Lee Brandenburg Museum at Cinnabar Hills Golf Club is a definite must stop to see in your golf exploration of history. So there's historic golf clubs in there, there's historic garments, there's all kinds of stuff in there, namely the trophies for all four of the major championships. So it's really cool. So Lee Brandenburg and Roger Maltby go way back, and it was really cool to see Roger Maltby. And then I made my way to the practice green, where I saw guys putting around on the practice green, and I saw I think it was a caddy that was using a device to try to measure the I don't know if it was the stimp meter reading, but it was sort of it looked almost like a roller coaster kind of thing where he would take the ball and roll it off of this roller coaster thing, and then according to the break on the putt determined, you know, how the ball would roll, and I guess how the player would read the putt or whatever, and then he would mark these areas with tees around this device, and I thought it was fascinating to watch this guy. So then after that, I saw James Hahn walk across the practice green with phone in hand, like he was on an important call, and I've seen Deion Sanders do that when I was an intern at Dodger Stadium. They actually had cell phones back then, and he was the first guy that I ever saw that did that technique, where you're walking across the field with the phone in your hand, and you're actually distracting any sort of comment from maybe an autograph seeker or maybe a heckler or something like that. So I thought seeing him do that was kind of funny, but that tweet, I don't know if he's ever going to live that down. So I did see him on 11. Later on in the day, and he hit a pretty good shot. But anyway, everybody makes mistakes. Sometimes, you know, sometimes people forgive, sometimes people don't. But anyway, interesting how the person handles that afterwards. So hope he does well. Hope he gets his act together and he plays well. And I hope he does better. So then I went to the range, and I saw a bunch of guys getting ready for the day. One guy in particular that I really was fascinated by his swing was this new player that's on the tour. And I think he's a recent graduate of the Korn Ferry Tour. His name is Paul Haley II. I hope I got that right, because I just had a bit of a brain fart just now. Chardonnay Golf Club's right over there. Chardonnay. I'm on Highway 12 coming back from Napa. So Paul Haley II is a up-and-coming player on the PGA Tour. This could be his very first tournament of his career on the PGA Tour after being on the Korn Ferry Tour. But he had a swing that was very reminiscent of Jeff Sluman back from the late 80s, early 90s, and I really thought that this kid's swing was reminiscent of his swing, like the second coming of Jeff Sluman, and I thought it was immaculate, that swing. Just I don't know how you do it. It's really compact. It's really sort of he's a shorter kind of a player. He's maybe 5'7" to 5'9" maybe. and he gets it. He gets that club around his body really well. It's a pretty flat swing plane, but the way the ball looks in the air after he hits it is just gorgeous. It just really is. So followed him. I watched him tee off on the first hole, and I followed him for like five holes, and he was doing pretty well. And he actually lit it up on the tail end of the front nine, I think, into the back nine, and he ended up shooting, I think, 66 out there. And he had a little bit of trouble on the 17th and 18th coming in, and you know, that's fine. You know, he's like, he went from being maybe middle pack player in the morning to first page of the leaderboard. And he's going to have to deal with the incoming rain tomorrow. So hopefully, I hope he can keep it together. And I hope he can really, I hope he can win out there. Because he really looks like he has a good swing that's really solid. And I think his swing is going to take him a really long way. So I think he's from, the Wikipedia said he's from Dallas, Texas. And he has, I think, two or three victories on the Corn Ferry Tour. And so, Paul Haley II. Let's see how it goes. So then I sort of switched gears, and I kind of went back the other way when I got to the 15th hole. I sort of used the restrooms, used the facilities, and then I kind of went backwards, and I saw Bo Hostler and Nick Watney, and I got to see Tony Navarro caddying for Nick Watney, and I said hello to him. It was really good to see Tony Navarro again. And then Bo Hostler was playing with Nick Watney as well. Bo Hostler, I've always thought, was a very naturally gifted athlete, golfer, that really has really good tempo and really uses his big muscles well in the golf swing. And why I say that is because when he was an amateur, he literally could have won the 2012 U.S. Open at the Olympic Club. And, you know, he was on the first page of the leaderboard, I think, after Saturday and probably into Sunday. And he did really well for an amateur. I think he was low amateur at that event, at that U.S. Open. So I sort of got excited when I saw him, because he was in contention a few years ago in 2017 in Houston at the, it could have been called the Shell Houston Open. I don't know if it was named that or not, but he was funny because when he was on TV briefly, they caught him using a bit of bad language. And I think the phrase he used was, "You're shitting me," to his caddy. Like, the ball had gotten lost, and he was like, "You're shitting me." And they got that on, they caught that on TV, and I thought that was interesting. So anyway, how are you? Oh yeah, see, this is the 12 into Highway 80 interchange, and this Mercedes, or no, it's a Tesla. The guy went off the road. What? The Tesla's not going to figure that out. You have to. Anyway, now we're in Fairfield. Oh, God. What the hell, man? Now it's going to cut me off. The K-wall is encroaching on the freeway. All right, so then what happened? So then I went to the 11th tee, which was so cool because Fortinet is the sponsor of the tournament. And what they did is they allowed regular, normal, average people to sit in grandstands, to sit in sort of VIP accommodations on these holes, and they didn't make it, so you had to pay extra money for the ticket. I mean, my ticket was $75, and I didn't stay for the concert, which is probably ending up right about now. It's about 9:30 in the evening on Saturday. But I really got to commend Fortinet for allowing regular, normal, average people that are still golf fans access to these really VIP type areas. And we had It was like sitting at a table, sitting at a kind of a bench with a seat, and you know, right behind the 11th tee, and we were able to watch all of the afternoon groups come through that tee and play their shots on the 11th. And I thought the 11th hole was, I think the 11th hole is one of the, is probably the best viewing spot behind that tee on the whole golf course, because we were underneath all these oak trees, and the oak trees were offering shade on everybody. And you know, by the grace of God, we had all of these leaves coming down off of the trees, and it looked like snow. You know, the leaves were snowing on the tee, and I thought it was beautiful. You know, and there were points where the maintenance staff had to come in with their blowers and blow the leaves off the tee, and that's totally fine. It's like the machine, the tractor they use at NHRA drag racing that rubbers up the track, rubbers up the strip between sessions, between the pro stock and the top fuel and the funny car. I thought that was cool. So we got that. We saw all the groups come through, and I met a couple. I'm going to get the name, and I'm going to post it. They were from Gilroy. A husband, or a man and his wife, where they were sitting there, and they had their grandson come along as well, and they had a grand old time eating beef jerky and eating Ritz crackers. They just had a great old time watching all the players come through, and their son is the superintendent of the North Course at Silverado. And they were from Gilroy, California. And we had a great old conversation about George Archer, who is originally from Gilroy, California. And he won the Masters back in 69. I believe that's the year. and then I was just hanging out with them. I was just hanging out behind the 11th tee. And it was just a grand old time. The grand old time that I had. And then later on, this other great couple sat to my left, and they were from San Mateo, and they were just having a great old time because the gentleman and his wife were sitting there. And just to be able to play golf with your wife is a blessing from heaven, in my opinion. And he was talking about how he was playing with a guy very recently, and the guy got a hole in one on the 11th hole from the drop area. So that's awesome. So we talked to him and gave both of those couples, I gave them cards for my podcast. And so I hope they hear this. I hope they hear this. This is great, because I'm going to include later on some little interviews I had with people on the podcast, you know, with regard to, you know, the day that I had. It was a grand day out at Silverado during the Fortinet. Then we, you know, we got done with the 11th hole kind of stuff, and then I got out and I meandered around. I went back to the driving range to see what was going on, and there weren't too many guys hitting balls. I saw Bo Hostler out there and JJ Spahn, and I really wanted to talk to Bo Hostler about him and his success at the 2012 U.S. Open. But he was doing his stuff. He was doing his practicing, getting ready for tomorrow, because tomorrow they're expecting rain, and they're expecting harsher, more brutal conditions, and hopefully those guys can make it through it. So it'll be, the golf course definitely needs the water, and hopefully it'll be enough to drench them for about another month before the season kicks in. Before the off season kicks in, where we have wetter weather. So, anyway, I just had a great time all around. Oh, and then I met Alex Noren. He has a caddy who's from Scotland. I think his name is Mark Crane, as far as I remember. Hopefully I got that name right. But he's a caddy. He's from Scotland, and he got to go back to be at St. Andrews for the Open this year. And you gotta think that for a Scottish person to go back to the Open at St. Andrews to experience the Open Championship has to be one of the greatest feelings in the whole world. Just to be from the place that you're from, the home of golf, and you get to go back to be a participant with your pro at the Open Championship. Oh man, that's got to be unbelievable. So I asked him if he wanted to talk to me, but he was working with the boss, and so I had he had to decline on that. So that was cool. But then you know there's this security guard guy that was really cool, and he was really cool and calm and collected with me. And he's like, don't. He's like, you know, hey, have a great day. You know, everybody was in a good mood. You know, and just he was really cool. You know, I didn't get his name, but he really was keeping a tight ship there on the driving range. So, and then I went back to the 18th tee. I sort of made my way back because there were still like three groups out there after those guys were done on the range, and I sort of made my way back. I saw Matt Kuchar go through, and I think it was Byung Oh Nan from Korea go through there, and then the last group of the day was Max Homa and Danny Willett, and those guys were pretty focused on what they were doing, especially Max Homa. He looked like he was really trying to focus on what he had to do because he's playing in the President's Cup next week, and that's a big deal in my opinion. He was the captain's pick for the United States team. Davis Love III picked him because he's had a really good year last year, the season, and so it was really good to see him. But when we got to the 18th tee, there was a big throng of people, and there was this young high school golfer that immediately after Max Homa hit his tee shot on 18, the kid yelled out, "Light the candle." And so I got that on my recorder, and it was pretty spectacular to hear that. And I don't know if I'm going to use it or not, because I don't really like it when people do that, because it's kind of annoying, and it's sort of, I mean, people do that just to be on TV, and it's really, it's awful. I don't like it at all. So, and then Danny Willett hit his shot, and it was great to see him. I'd never seen him before, 2016 Masters champion. He hit a shot on the 18th hole that went left into the rough, but I think his ball got a bit more roll because I think it hit the cart path, and I think his cart path ball really, really got down the fairway a lot further than many of the other players. And he was down there in the rough where the gallery had been trampling on the turf, and he may have had only maybe 225 to the green for his second shot. And so he got on, or he had a what looked to be a mid-iron. It could have been a 5-iron, and I'm thinking that a 5-iron going 225, he probably hit that shot, but it actually went over the green to the back left of the green, and he had to get TIO relief to be able to chip it onto the green and finish the hole. So once that happened, I was in the throng of people that was behind him on a second shot, and I think that might have been the coolest. That might have been one of the coolest shots I've ever seen in my life. Just to see. And my phone was dead by that point. I forgot to bring the charger from the car, because I did bring my external battery. But man, that was really cool to see that. I will remember that shot for a really long time, because everybody was dead silent, and he was doing his mannerisms and his swing thoughts and all this, you know, movement and all this stuff, and he takes the club back and then hits it, and the sound it made was just immaculate. So the ball went a country mile, and he probably only hit a 5-iron. Oh man, that was some shot. So yeah, so those guys finished, and then they had the concert, and then I treated myself to some Black Bear Diner for dinner, and just had a great old time. And so I made a highlight video for YouTube that I'm going to post probably tonight, and just a great time. I just had a really great time, and the PGA Tour is the best golf tour on the planet Earth, and there's nothing that even comes close. You know, the DP Tour comes close to that, but the PGA Tour reigns supreme as far as the greatest golf tour on the planet Earth. So anyway, thanks for listening to my little highlight show. on the Knackered Golfers podcast, fresh from having a grand day out at the Fortinet Championship at Silverado. Thanks again.
On the tee, the Knackered Golfist.
Four, please. The Knackered Golfist, now driving.
You are listening live to the Knackered Golfist podcast. The Knackered Golfist podcast.
All right, thanks for listening, folks. This is the Knackered Golfist Radio Network.